So the looking at Wall Street this morning, the futures are, and again, I tend to pay a little less attention to the Dow, but about a percent plus in the S&P and the NASDAQ. This after a Friday where it was up half a percent to three quarters of a percent. It's just a little all over the place. The terms that, as we welcome in Jill Schlesinger, Jill on Money, and of course CBS News, when they start talking about uncertainty and volatility, but that is sort of what's happening. We're whipsawn around here, Jill, and it's not
not great.
It doesn't feel great.
S&P 500 just had its worst week since last September. Just, you know, uncertainty. Just
I think I had my worst week.
Did you?
Since last September. Not investing, just in life.
I'm sorry. The only good news is that you probably don't own a lot of Bitcoin, so you'll be happy to know that's down 14% this year. So at least you don't have that.
Someone gets suckered on both ends of that trade, I really feel. But that's for a different day. So the jobs report, from all accounts, seems a bit of a throwaway because we don't really know the impact of all the Doge cuts and all this other stuff. But the thing that struck me, Jill, is that Trump basically said something to the effect, I think I heard him say, like, with all this stuff, wait till September, which makes me feel like he's sort of getting wind that maybe there'll be some sort of negative GDP print or something coming.
Oh,
down.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's getting wind. That is clear. We are seeing a real pullback. Let's say you have 3, 4, even 5 months where the economy's sputtering a little bit and it's not growing, but it's actually shrinking. That doesn't mean that we're in some horrible recession. But there have certainly been times where you have a quarter or, maybe 4 or 5 months where things are soft and it doesn't look good. So we are probably in the middle of that this first quarter. I know a lot of people like to say, oh, well, 2 quarters where the economy is shrinking, that is the definition of a recession. That's like the loose playbook definition.
Right.
Because the real definition happens in the aftermath. We have actually an institution that says here's when recessions start and here's when they stop. But all that being said, I am just getting inundated with questions from people who are feeling probably about as uncertain about the investment world as they have since 5 years ago during COVID. By the way, that was a lot worse. Everyone, take a deep breath. Remember, that was a lot worse. I dusted off my old playbook from that period of time. And this is a playbook that I've been developing, for about 20-something years, because I remember when I first created my panic protection plan, I was an investment advisor, I was a financial planner, and I was trying to help people through the tech bubble bursting. So that's a long time ago, friends. Number one, how about you just focus on your own stuff.
So you have three things in number one. So number
one. I know
one,
it.
Okay.
Because that's how I cheat. Cover your big three. Otherwise, it would be 9 things you have to do.
It's
and that's too much for
here.
People. See? That's how I roll here. Okay. We've always talked about this. That 6 to 12 months of your emergency reserve fund, those living expenses in a safe place, to me, that is like the best way that you can actually start to calm yourself down. Oh, wait. I can ride a lot of things out. So if you're a government worker, if you work in media, if you are somebody who is a software engineer and now AI is taking your job, you say, I must make sure I have an emergency reserve, a break the glass account where I can get to that money if something bad were to happen. And, in addition to that, if you have that already, you're like, I got plenty of cash, pay down some debt. You got some credit card debt outstanding. You've got a high interest auto loan. You want to pay down some money to the student loans that you actually owe. Get it done. Because if something changes in the economy and you're not quite as flush, you won't be able to do anything. And if both of those things are taken care of, then max out their retirement account. There's nothing that makes me feel better about a downturn in the stock market than knowing, hey, my money is going into the stock market. I'm forcing myself to buy when things go down. That's very hard to do, as you know.
Yep. And that's the old dollar cost averaging. I mean, so that there's good stuff there. I mean, for me, I failed at the first one. I mean, I'm still trying to figure out what the household budget is with college and it's sort of like hard.
These children
know.
They kill you.
It is.
Gosh.
But
you know, I will say this. When, you know, if I, it strikes me that we're 5, you're going to see a lot of articles and pieces on the 5-year anniversary of the beginning of COVID. And it does strike me that I went back into my own archive of that time because I started doing a daily podcast because people were freaking out so much, right? And it was interesting to see how many of the questions were about like, what's like the hierarchy of my obligations? Like, what should I be doing? Mm. Sometimes when those bad old times, one good thing that happened was you really did understand what was a necessary expense. And I hate to make people crazy here, but, you know, forget about the investments for a second. If you can get down to like, where's the money going right now? And how can I control the money that is, you know, subject to my own desires, right? My must-haves versus my want-to-haves, then maybe you can give yourself a little breathing room.
Yeah, and I think like a sort of a household audit, and again, those Rocket Money ads that you always see, mm-hmm. they're compelling because I think we do spend a lot of money every month, whether it's gym memberships that you don't use or this or that, where you could really save some money that if you put it all together and then ended up investing or saving that money, you would be in a much better
position.
Yeah,
I mean, it's hard to do, but I also remind everybody that, you know, again, 5 years ago, we were stuck at home and everyone says, oh, now I really know what I need in life. Mm-hmm. Remember that? It felt terrible, but at least you did know.
Yeah.
You didn't need too much.
That's true. It's so interesting, the cyclicality of some of the things that are concerning people. Mm. The finding free money, you know, explain that a little bit in terms of like people that are paying for financial advisors, maybe try to find index funds and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think there's two things. Let's say in your retirement account, there are different kinds of funds inside of there. Some of them are what we call managed funds, where there's a manager who selects what they believe are the best performing stocks for a given category, large growth stocks. And they may charge you a half of a percentage point for the money that goes into that fund. Then there's an index fund, which basically invests in an index of whatever the index is, but let's call it the large cap index, like the S&P 500. Well, what if one costs a half a percent a year and one was basically no cost a year? Whatever that extra percent that you're paying is not worth it. Mm. No one's finding better stocks than the index. So get rid of those managed funds and replace them with index funds. If you are somebody who works with a financial professional and you don't know how you pay that professional, figure that out fast because there are people who are just charging you money to put you in investments without doing the financial plan. And those people, frankly, are not worth it. They're not going to pick better funds than just a bunch of index funds that you could pick for yourself. I say this as somebody who was a financial planner, gang. It's not that I don't think planners are great. They are amazing. But somebody who is just investing for you is not a financial planner. So unless they're sitting down with you every year, going through a plan, trying to help you get through the different steps of the financial planning process, that other stuff is irrelevant. So they've got to do the hard work.
Yeah, make it worth the money. Jill, great stuff as always. We appreciate it. It's a pretty interesting time. So we look forward to next week as well.
Take care.
Jill Schlesinger. If you want to read her stuff, go to JillOnMoney.com. She has her blog is there as well as a lot of her other appearances. And it's sort of a good one-stop shop.